Inland Fisheries Resource Enhancement and Conservation in India by V.V. Suganan. This presentation was delivered at the FAO NACA Expert Workshop on Inland Fisheries Resource Enhancement and Conservation in Asia, held from 8 to 11 February 2010 in Pattaya, Thailand.
Well, this is what it is, Inland Fisheries Enhancement and Conservation in India. As I was told, I'll give the structure of the paper first, and then I will give some glimpses of the contents. I'm not sure whether this will reflect the whole paper, because there are a lot of noise in that, I know. But then the reviewers have the advantage of having read the paper, but you have not read the paper. Perhaps I'll try to give some highlights, but this is not all. Perhaps in the next sessions, we'll have to analyze them more details. So, structure. So first, in my introduction, I have written how important the sector is to the country. Then I gave give a list of resources and the type of fisheries management followed there. Then the demands for fish in the future and the challenges in meeting these demands, and how the country makes its strategy for meeting these demands. Then come to enhancement. We have got two different resources where enhancement is practiced. They are reservoirs and the floodplain wetlands, commonly called beels in a few states. And different modes of enhancement are followed here, including stock culture-based fisheries and stock enhancement and species enhancement. Then I will talk about some of the post-harvest and pre-stocking measures and the impact of enhancement initiatives taken by the government. Then regarding conservation, based on ecosystem, we have got the captured fisheries in rivers, estuaries, upland lakes, lagoons, etc., where there is a adverse impact of habitat changes, then fall in captured fisheries, and how this is then how the conservation issues are addressed, and what initiatives have been taken and impact of these initiatives. Then some general issues about fishing rights and access. Then organization of the community and the policy, institutional and financial environments, the logistics of supply, the raising stocking material, and how the post-harvest handling is done, and different market channels. And finally, come to the constraints, technical and operational, and I have given a few recommendations. So coming to the contents, the fisheries is important for India. 1% of the national GDP and 4.7% of the agriculture GDP it contributes. But then this 1% GDP can be misleading, because as I explained in the paper, the valuation methods are not good enough, so that perhaps the true value is not reflected in the GDP. Perhaps it could be much more than this. Then per capita availability is about 9 kilograms per capita. Then it provides employment for 14 million people and support an export trade of 86 billion Indian rupees. Of course, the sector is important because it is growing awareness about fish as a health food. It's a fast growing industry among the agriculture sector. Then if you look at the fish production trends in the country, we'll get some interesting findings here. In the 1950s, when we started planned development, inland fisheries contributed about 30% of the catch. As we increased to tenfold by now, the contribution of inland fisheries has increased, and it has now become 60%. And the significance here is that the inland fisheries, when it was at 30%, it was simply captured fisheries. Now this 60% increase is due to aquaculture as well as the different enhancement practices. So it is the inland fisheries that is going to look after the future demands in the country for the years to come. So if you look at the resources, these are the major resources we have. And you can see a culture-based fishery or other forms of enhancement are the order of the day for many of the reservoirs. Like, we have got 1.5 million hectares of small reservoirs. We have got 1.6 million large and medium reservoirs, 354,000 floodplain wetlands. All these are following the culture-based fisheries or other enhancement forms. and of course aquaculture in freshwater and brackish water ponds. But then this is, the resource is very high, 2.4 and 1.1 million in aquaculture, but only a fraction of that is being utilized, and it is difficult to use all of them because all of us know there's a lot of demand for, conflicting demand for water and land, so it may not be possible to use. So the national planners are of the idea that we have to concentrate more on enhancement to produce more fish. So if you look at the present production of 7.6 million tons of fish, we have to increase it up to 11.8 million tons by 2020. This is the studies made by the economists in the country. And now the moment we are meeting the more than 60% from the inland sector, you can see the marine fisheries sector, 3 million hectares, it may not grow much more than much more in the years to come. Whereas the freshwater aquaculture has to grow from 3.7 to 6.37, and you can see the enhancement, which is now currently at 0.8 million tons, has to grow up to 1.8, that has to double by 2020. This is the plan. Then meeting this is full of challenges. We have to grow at the rate of 6% per annum to achieve that. Then again, there is a conflicting demands for natural resources like land and water, and other new emerging environmental concerns like climate change. We have to contend with all these while meeting this demand. If you look at the different processes, as we all know, the habitat conservation and capture fisheries is most environmentally sustainable activity, whereas going to hyper-intensive aquaculture, you get more production at the same time. We are going away from sustainability. So the thinking is have somewhere in between, that is culture-based fisheries from the reservoirs, and also, you know, some sort of intensive, limited intensification of aquaculture will be the policy. So we will be concentrating on these two and not the other two extremes. Coming to the enhancement reservoirs, we have got 3.15 million hectares. Culture-based fisheries is followed in the small reservoirs. They are mostly irrigation impoundments. They are shallow, and some of them even dry up during the summer. And then stock enhancement is being followed in medium and large reservoirs. We have tried this species enhancement. As I was explaining, species were put in the southern states. Indian major crops were put. And we also tried with tilapia, common carp, and silver carp. But the other forms of enhancement, like environment enhancement, we have tried this in different locations, but it has not become very popular, mainly because it's a multi-user environment, so the tampering with the chemical quality of water may not be tolerated. And then cage and pen culture, this is, in as far as the reservoir is concerned, this is used only for rearing fingerlings. But the main problem here is the water level fluctuation in the reservoirs. Only all reservoirs, we cannot erect pens and cages. These are some of the impacts of practicing culture-based fisheries. We can see by increasing the stocking density, we could get higher production in different parts of the country. These are the initiatives taken by the institutes to improve the production through culture-based fisheries. Again, here are some impact of stocking on the total fish production and different reservoirs. Then the other resource is called floodplain wetlands. There is a variety of water bodies that is found on the floodplains of the rivers. They are all called beels. Some of them are oxbow lakes. Some of them are other type of wetlands found on the floodplains. We have got two kinds of beels. One is having the connection with the river maintained. They call open beels. And there is another one which is almost cut off from the river course. They call closed beels. And the culture-based fisheries is followed in closed beels, where the stocking and recapture is the norm. Whereas in open beels, we use the enhanced capture fisheries, where the conservation of environment and stock management is the norm there. And there are some combined systems are also there. But then the yield has been very good in West Bengal, beels. But then, again, the productivity is quite high in all, invariably, all the states. But it is good in West Bengal because of better management regimes there. Governance regimes are better. Whereas in Assam, Bihar and Uttar Pradesh, even though the water is productive, but then it is not reflected in the fish catch. Then pen culture as a grow-out culture system is becoming very popular in Assam and West Bengal. Coming to rivers, we have got 44 medium rivers and 14 large rivers which are having more than 20,000 catchment area. And then all the rivers and capture fishery water bodies are under the impact of habitat change, physical habitat loss and chemical pollution. Then ecosystem overfishing, size overfishing, and then irrational fishing practices and also the adverse impact of exotic species. These are the impacts that we face. And you can see the, it is reflected in the catch. You can see the Ganga River at Allahabad, one station, we used to have 205 tons of fish in the 50s. It has come to just 59 tons in the 90s, and a slight improvement afterwards. Now it is 89 tons. Similarly, the more important is the composition of the major carps, the desirable component of the catch. It used to be 91 tons and 44% in the 50s. It has come to 4.9 tons and 8 tons during this now up to 96. Then after the Ganga Action Plan, there was some improvement. In 2001, you can see it has recovered slightly. It is 12 tons and 14.2%. The same is true with the Brahmaputra at Guwahati. You can see this downward swing of 30% in the total catch, and the desirable major carps minus 30. And then the total other miscellaneous and small fishes, it has increased to 141%. So this is a reflection of the same is true for many of the rivers across the country. Then there are many conservation measures have been taken. The number one is the Ganga Action Plan launched in 1995. It was to clean up the river. Partially it was successful. Then it has been extended to several other rivers and now even covered the lakes. Then there is the Institute conservation measures. More than 600 protected places have been declared in the river stretches. Then ranching is being done by state governments. Then in a novel approach, some of the states have been, all the states have been encouraged to declare one fish as a state fish, so that, you know, focused conservation measures at the same time creating awareness among people. Then there is scientific inputs like cryopreservation of embryos and sperms, tissue banking, live gene bank. These are some of the steps being taken. And now environmental impact assessment and provision of fish passes have become mandatory for any dam construction in the country. That is also going to help. Then there is more awareness about the pollution abatement measures and environmental flows. It was never, it was not a very popular word among water managers in the country. Now gradually people are coming around and trying to accept, they are about to accept this concept of environmental flows. Otherwise, as hydraulic engineers, they always consider the water that flows downstream as a wastewater or excess water. Regarding operations, these fishing rights and access, this varies, there's a lot of variation across the states, and they, even within the states there are different kinds of regimes, but by and large you can say rivers are used as a common property resource with open access, of course with some exceptions where people they own some stretches of river has been auctioned to people. Same is true with estuaries, more or less an open access common property. But in reservoirs and beels, the system is cooperative societies, and the fishing right is given to the cooperative societies against a royalty for a fixed period of time. But in some cases, individuals are also given the right to fish. Again, this is something we need national level legislation to make it uniform, because some of them are not working in the interest of equity and sustainability. There are cooperative societies, local fishing groups and self-help groups. These are the type of communities. Then post-harvest arrangement is very little. Only iced fish is being sent across the country. Virtually no processing and value addition. We always consider it's a luxury or a necessity for the export trade supported by, that is again driven by the marine fisheries. Whereas there's a lot of local marketing, but no attention has been given about value addition processing. Highly unorganized marketing there, and there are too many market intermediaries, sometimes too long market chains. You can see some of them here. So you can see some of them are too long, and then the result is that the fisher gets a very poor share of the consumer's rupee that is paid. So this is also an area where attention is needed, because proper marketing arrangement, marketing infrastructure is required. Then I listed some constraints, technical constraints like habitat degradation, Then short supply of fish seed. We have got a well-grown fish seed industry across the country, but they never cater to the needs of the enhancement and reservoir fishery, because the fish, the seed produced is all taken by the private aquaculture industry, because the system of government stocking the reservoirs is still continuing. In fact, the community should stock so that, you know, there will be demand for seed and there will be the private industry should cater to these needs. So we have to change the policy, required. Of course, the low adoption of technologies, overfishing, then stock loss in dams, it's an issue. Because the outlets are not protected, so that the lot of stock is stocked fish is lost in the process. And then lack of valuation methods is very important, because when the multi-user environment, the fisheries interest is not taken, because the fishery where the services given by the fishery sector is undervalued. So we don't have the methods for valuation. Then lack of resource assessment and management tools. Then of course the craft and gear. Here again, lot of research has gone into the country about craft and gear improvements, all for the marine sector. Whereas in inland sector, even now the traditional age-old fishing crafts and gear are used. Perhaps we can have more research input for improving gear and craft for sustainable fisheries in the area. Then the operational constraints, basically it is the challenge is the community-based management of governance. Wherever there is a governance arrangement is good, you will see that always there is a very high yield and production. So it is not the productivity of the system, but the governance of the system is more important there. Then marketing channels and marketing infrastructure are not adequate. Ownership rights, as I already mentioned. Then many governments, they have a revenue approach rather than a development approach. That means they lay out the reservoir water body for the highest bidder. In the process, you know, the person who takes the water body, his only concern is to get maximum money out of it. So this many governments, they need to change their approach from revenue approach to a development approach, so that more equitably or inclusive growth can be achieved. And again, that command and control approach should give way for the participatory approach, because we don't have enough people to police the enforcement of the rules. Rather, it can be achieved only through the participation and motivation of the people. Then you can see the governance regime is important. Enhancement and captured fisheries are managed on the basis of common property resource. And then low yields are not necessarily due to the biophysical reasons. It is mainly due to the poor governance arrangement. So we need a governance system which is built on a co-management platform with active participation of all stakeholders. And it should lead to improved yield, but on a sustainable and equitable basis, rather than increasing the production per se. And all this needs a enabling policy environment. Many times, the technologies are demonstrated in one place, but it fails to get scaled up, because that should be supported by the governmental policy. But for example, in many states, agriculture in all the entire country, agriculture is treated as fisheries is treated as agriculture. But when it comes to incentives and when it comes to all kinds of benefits, they are not treated as agriculture. So this policy change is, we have from our side, fisheries sector side, we have been putting pressure on the government to give all the incentives across the board to the fisheries at par with the agriculture. Then the credit flow and the financial support from financial institutions do not go down to the fishers. And then fishers are easy prey to the money lenders and middlemen. Then to avoid all these things, we need to empower and motivate the fishers and organize themselves into co-management regimes in order to manage their aquatic resources very well. Finally, all my recommendations, I have not listed here. I just summarized them into four major heads. Number one is the importance of the the aquatic ecosystems and the services, inland fishery services, to be recognized as a service, so that, you know, we can put out pressure on the policy makers to give enough recognition to that. So far we have failed. That's why when you look at the total value of the whole fish produced, we won't stand anywhere near power generation or food grain production. So this is evaluation is important for this. Secondly, the yield optimization of natural water should be, the main aim should be environmental sustainability and social equity rather than the total production. Somehow the emphasis is on total production. We should shift the emphasis from total production to sustainable and equitable production. And thirdly, the importance of post-harvest infrastructure marketing activity. This is very important because we always consider that maintenance of quality standards is a luxury that can be afforded only by the export sector. Whereas our own people can eat anything. That should change, because if you have the hygiene protocols common for both domestic as well as overseas trade, first of all, this country's reputation as a responsible exporter will improve. Secondly, your own people's health will be improving. So we need this kind of regimes, control regimes and quality control regimes common for both domestic as well as then also the new market systems are emerging in the country about the supermarket culture and so on. But then this can be taken to the advantage of this sector, so that people can have tie-up with the supermarkets and get their fish sold easily. So all these need a network of post-harvest and infrastructure and marketing facility across the country. And finally, the most important thing is creating a conducive governance environment supported by appropriate policy and legislative and institutional instruments. This will see that the sector will improve well. Thank you very much.